What an amazing opportunity we have to not just remember, but celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Speaking of resurrection, you know, as a Christian, baptisms are an act of obedience, which kind of represents that from death to new life with that. So, and speaking of baptisms, if you weren't here last week, we had the most amazing time watching dads get baptized and then those dads baptizing their family. And if you weren't here and you didn't have that privilege to join us, you're going to get that opportunity now to see that. Katie, get your tissue out. She cries at the drop of a hat, so she's going to be crying. So take this time and watch this recap. You have them? You watch this recap of the baptisms from last week.
I'm getting baptized today because I wanted to publicly announce my heart's with Jesus, and I'm just really excited to share that with everyone.
I'm getting baptized because I want to get closer to God. I want to get closer to Jesus, and I felt like this was going to be the next step to get closer to Him.
I'm getting baptized today because when I was in fifth grade and there's online school, I was really stressed out about school. So then I started praying, and then I got to know Jesus better. I was a Christian, but I just didn't really have a really good relationship with Him. And then as my relationship started to build, I began to release my stress, and it was all fine. Ever since then, I've had a really close relationship with God, and God has spoken to me a lot about things going on in my life.
And that's so many of our stories. You grew up in a Christian home, and you may not have an exact name, but she realized that she was a Christian. And she has some fear around baptism, she shares. But one night, one of her youth leaders told her not to be afraid, that those things weren't for her, and they gave her hope, and she's decided to be baptized and declare her faith in front of her church family.
I'm getting baptized because God put this on my heart to do, and I was surprised and blessed by the fact that I get to baptize my wife and daughter.
I'm getting baptized because I found my way to faith about a year and a half ago, and I'm ready to completely dedicate my life to Jesus and take the next step to committing to my faith.
I'm getting baptized today because I want to dedicate my heart to God and Jesus.
Man, wasn't that awesome? Well, good morning, everybody. Would you guys stand as we begin with some worship? Oh, we look to the sun, set our eyes on our Savior, see the image of love, sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun. We sing salvation.
Salvation, tearing through the dead of night. See the kingdom burst in the color at the speed of light. Freedom, shaking up the atmosphere. As the shadows fade into nothing, as the day appears. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the message of love. Sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun.
We sing creation.
Creation, waking up to kingdom come. See the hope of heaven shining like the rising sun.
Now forever.
Now forever. Lifted up from death to life. There's no fear in love and no darkness in His endless light. Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun.
We sing beyond the skies.
Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God.
Beyond the skies.
Beyond the skies above, love reaching out for us. The everlasting one, Jesus our God. Oh, we look to the sun. Set our eyes on our Savior. See the image of love. Sing His praises forever. Oh, we look to the sun.
Come on, let's give Him praise for everything He's done.
Ever adore you, there's no one.
we love you, ever adore you.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he
lives. Let's sing that together one more time. Because he lives.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the he.
Lord, we thank you that we can proclaim that truth this morning, that you live, that you did what you said you would do, that you bore our sins, that you died, and then were resurrected on the third day, God. We're thankful that we can celebrate and proclaim that truth this morning. So we pray that as we continue to worship you through learning about you, through the reading of your word, that you would help us to see you more and more. And that you would help us to be more and more like your son, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Hey, find somebody you know and tell them that he is risen.
I think you guys are just having too much fun. But we can continue that after the service. You'll enjoy that. I think there's even donuts. Put my old man glasses on. I'd like to read for you out of Luke chapter 8, verses 40 through 56. If you have your Bible or your phone or your neighbor, you can look that up. So here's what it says. This is talking about when Jesus heals a woman and Jairus' daughter. It says, now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all of her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling before him. She declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him, and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. "Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe. She will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called her, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once, and he directed that something be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened.
Guess what I get to do? I get to preach the gospel. So we're going to be looking at this story this morning, and we're going to see the gospel in this fantastic, epic tale. First of all, welcome to Shelton First Baptist Church. I am Pastor Jake, and it is so fantastic to have you here with us this morning. And what I want to share with you specifically this morning, the big idea is this: because he is risen, it's not too late. It's not too late. Now, it seems too late for this family in our story, doesn't it? But it's not. The girl rises. And she rises because Jesus will rise. And the two are bound together. And what I want you to see in this story is an invitation from God to you to enter into that same experience. We're going to see, because Jesus keeps saying that these physical miracles are really mirrors of something deeper. And I want you to see the invitation this morning to experience some of this story in your life. God wants to do this in your life. You see, Easter is all about how Jesus goes after death, how he recovers all of those legitimate dreams and hopes that are gone in your life. Everything that sin touches and ruins, you think of the injustices, the pain, the suffering. Jesus comes to undo the sin that results in that death. That's what Easter is all about. And this is why Christians all over the world are celebrating this morning. This is why we celebrate. This is why the resurrection of Jesus is at the center of history. This is why Jesus is at the very blazing center of heaven and earth. He alone has the keys of death and Hades. And what I want to do with this story is show you how that is, who he is, and who he can become to you as we look at this remarkable story about Jesus saving from death. Now, when we heard this story spoken to us, I want you to see here that one of the amazing things that we learn about Jesus is that he's so great, he's so monumental, that he has control even when there's not enough time. He is in control even when there's not enough time. He's sovereign over seconds. He is sovereign over time itself, even when waiting is excruciating. Waiting is excruciating for this father. Now, let me ask you by show of hands, how many of you like to wait? Anyone with the gift of patience here? You don't, someone said they don't mind it. Okay, we're going to get your number afterwards. We got some tasks for you. Who likes to do this? Anyone? Okay, who likes to hang out here? Next picture. There you go. Yeah, you guys like freeways. By the way, Seattle has the 17th worst freeway bottleneck in the United States. Like we don't like to wait. You know how it is. You're at the stoplight, that person is in front of you. They, you know, the light turns green, and there's only a 5-second delay, and you're throwing your hands in the air and you're honking your horn. And yes, that's me in front of you, just to let you know. Just a 5-second delay, and you're undone. Or when you go to the grocery store and you got that person and you got stuck behind them and their cart, it's like they're preparing for the apocalypse, right? It's just, it's overflowing. And then the clerk is slower, the molasses dripping down the side of a maple tree. You know how fidgety and judgy you get, like I do. We can't stand to wait. I like what one guy said. He says, I wish I was as thin as my patience. And I agree, man. Woo, I would be thin. We have a hard time waiting in just normal circumstances. What about a situation like Luke chapter 8? What about a father with heart broken? What about a heartbreaking delay? And some of you are there today, your heart is breaking because you're waiting. Maybe you're waiting to hear the results from your doctor, or maybe you're waiting for your child to change. Maybe you're waiting for that information about your finances. Maybe you're a high school grad and you're waiting to figure out, what do I do with my future? I have no direction. There are some of you with hearts broken in delay. And what do? This father's heart is broken in delay. We don't know what happened to his 12-year-old daughter. All we know is at this point she's lost consciousness. Right? She's barely alive. Her pulse is undetectable. Mom is inconsolable. The siblings are just staring in a daze of pain. Grief is felt in this house. And the father, like, fathers want to protect, fathers want to serve, fathers want to nurture and heal, and this father doesn't know what to do. There's this overwhelming sense of powerlessness. What do I do? And then he realizes, yeah, there's that healer, that guy named Jesus. I hear he's in the area. I'm going to go to him. And so he gets up in desperation, and he seeks out Jesus. Wouldn't you? And when he finds Jesus, he drops to his feet, wouldn't you? And he cries out, my baby girl, wouldn't you? Matthew's account says he appealed to Jesus to go lay his hands on her and to make her well. And Jesus goes, but I want you to see in our text, it doesn't say that Jesus runs, and yet every second counts. Jesus doesn't run. He's, in fact, prevented by the crowd, I think, from running. I can imagine this father is in front of Jesus, trying to encourage him to go faster, and yet Jesus doesn't. And then the worst possible thing imaginable happens for the father. And that is, as Jesus is on the way to minister healing to his precious girl, Jesus stops. He just stops. That's the worst imaginable thing. And Jesus is surveying the crowd, and he's looking for someone. And he asks something that even the disciples think is ridiculous. Who touched me? And the disciples are like, no, duh. Everyone is. Man, you are in the midst of a throng of people. What do you mean, who touched you? And yet there he is. Jesus is insistent. He's looking for one particular person. And then after some time, we don't know how much time elapsed, Jesus is waiting. The Father is waiting. Finally, this woman emerges. And in Mark's account, Mark says that she told Jesus the whole truth. She starts from the beginning and she tells the whole story. You know, you don't take coffee breaks when you're doing CPR on people. You don't take intermissions in the midst of great crisis. And we don't know how long this pause was, but we know this. It was too long for this father. Incredibly painful. Can you relate? Can you relate? And I think we're supposed to read in here, I can't prove this, that maybe Jesus' delay meant her death. Just enough time elapsed. Jesus could have been there, laid hands, raised her from sickness, and just enough time elapsed that this delay meant her death. And so the question is, what do you do when waiting is excruciating? What should this father do? What should you do this morning? And I hate to be simplistic, but I'm going to tell you what Jesus tells this father to do. And by extension, you and I this morning, this is what Jesus says. He says this, do not fear, only believe. Don't fear. I want you to believe. Believe what? Well, believe that I'm going to remedy this. I'm going to bring resolution. But I think it's more than that. It's not just a believe what. Better yet, and this is what Easter is all about, it's about believing who. Who are you to believe? You see, Easter confronts you with Jesus, with the radical claims that he makes about himself, with the radical claims he makes about you and your relationship with him. What should you believe about Jesus this morning? Well, how about this? Believe things like this. Jesus is Lord over death and delay. He is Lord over death and delay. He is the sovereign Lord who is more than capable of multitasking in a crisis. You may not be able to multitask in a crisis. You may not have the emotional bandwidth, the resources, and the wisdom to deal with all that life throws at you. You can't, but he can't. And in fact, Jesus is amazing at multitasking. I mean, how about this for multitasking? Look at this verse. It's Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He upholds all things by the word of his power. How many of you know that's multitasking? Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You talk about multitasking, there it is. The Bible teaches that every physical fact in the universe, every spiritual fact in the universe is held together. It's held into existence. It's kept into existence because Jesus is the power and the force and the will that makes it happen. That is multitasking. Did you know that astronomers have discovered that the existence of any form of life in the universe depends upon this intensely complex and delicately balanced mosaic of hundreds of facts, laws, and conditions that if they weren't true, life would never exist. Did you know that? I mean, hundreds of them that if they were varied slightly, either one way or the other, you and I would not exist. Nothing would exist in the universe. Things like the amount of stuff in the universe, a little bit more stuff in the universe or a little less stuff in the universe, you don't exist at all. The ratio of protons to electrons, if that's varied just slightly one way or the other, you and I don't exist. Or let's make this more local. The axial tilt of the earth, the rotation period of the earth, the expansion of the universe, the distance of earth to sun, earth to moon, earth with relationship to all the planets. Man, if any of these were slightly varied, infinitesimally, you and I would not exist. And you know what? There's no naturalistic explanation for how those things got to be like that and why they stay like that. Paul Davis, a British astrophysicist, a man who once promoted atheism, looked at what is known as the fine-tuning of the universe, and this is what he said. He said, there is powerful evidence that there's something going on behind it all. You think? It seems as though somebody has fine-tuned nature's numbers to make the universe. You think? He says, the impression for design is overwhelming. You think? Sir Fred Hoyle, another astrophysicist, said this. He says, a common sense interpretation of the data from physics suggests that a super intellect has monkeyed with physics. You see these brilliant guys with more degrees than Fahrenheit behind their name. These brilliant men have discovered what the Bible has been saying all along. Jesus made it all and he holds it together. Amen? Amen. Jesus upholds all things by the word of his power. Therefore, when you understand who Jesus is, verse 50, do not fear, only believe. Only belief. You see, Jesus stopping for this one person, this woman, isn't that one thing in the universe added to his responsibilities that causes him to finally lose control? What you're going through this morning, that one thing that's way too much for you, way too much for you, that is not the one thing this morning added to Jesus' responsibility because of which finally he loses control of the universe. He could chew gum and rule and run the universe at the same time if you didn't know, including your life. In fact, time doesn't control him. He controls time. He's sovereign over seconds. There's no second beyond the dominion of his power. There's no bottleneck of crises and challenges in your life over which he cannot work for your good. I want to plead with you this morning, do not fear, only believe. Believe that Jesus is in control, even though there's not enough time. Number one. Number two, and this is related, believe that Jesus is in control, even in your painful pauses. Even in your painful pauses. Of course, waiting for Jesus to finish this interaction with this woman is excruciating for this dad. If I'm the father, I'm agitated. I'm furious with the crowd for getting in the way. I'm agitated with Jesus because he doesn't know how triage works, right? He's not prioritizing the most urgent in front of the less urgent. If I'm the father, I'm angry at the crowd. I'm angry at the woman for taking cuts, taking a healing that belongs to my daughter, right? Being elusive for such a long time, and then, you know, starting from the very beginning. It started when I was a kid, and then spending the whole time in narrative. This pause has to be so painful. But listen very carefully. If I'm the father, that might send me over the edge. But if it sent me over the edge, I might be missing the power of a pause. The power of a pause and what the Lord of delay might be up to. That is the very thing that I might need. I might miss how Jesus is presiding over that painful pause for my good. I actually think, and this is speculation, granted, I think this father needed the delay. He needed the delay. How so? Well, let me illustrate the point, and then I'll make the point and bring some application. A number of years back, my family and I, we were at Grey Wolf Lodge there in Centralia, and one particular day we were there at least for a couple of hours. Lori and I were really bad parents who had no idea where our kids were at. And really didn't care at the moment because it's all self-enclosed. And and I think I was napping, and Lori was on her phone or looking at some magazine, and at some point, she looks up from her device, and she starts screaming, Jake, there's a man pushing Ashley. Ashley is our daughter, but was our 9-year-old daughter at the time. He's picking her up. Jake, do something about it. And I get up and I'm looking around. I have no idea what she's talking about. She's screaming across the pool, "You put her down right now." And like that, the pool goes silent and everyone is looking at me and my wife. "Go get her, Jake. Go get her." And I'm looking around. I have no idea what she's talking about. And finally, I see what she sees. And what I see is a man about my age holding a girl that looks like Ashley and is wearing a swimsuit like Ashley's, but it was not Ashley. "That's not all right. You put her down." And I'm telling you, this guy's looking at us, and there's this look of confusion and fright. "Go get him, Jake. Go get him." And then I dropped the truth bomb on her. I said, "Honey, that's not Ashley." And she squinted her eyes. Yes, she needs glasses to this day. And her mouth gaped open, and she dissolved into a puddle into the pool. What's the point? Well, here's the point. We thought this guy was a menace. We thought he was the enemy. As it turns out, listen very carefully, we should have paid closer attention. He was the model parent. Like, we had no idea who our kids were. "I don't know, who is my kid? Maybe that one, maybe that one." We had no idea where our kids were at. This guy knows who his kid is present, is playing, is engaged, and here we are napping, neglecting our children. You see, we thought he was the menace. We thought he was the enemy, the obstacle. As it turns out, he was the model, the example for us as bad parents. Now, if I'm Jairus, I think this woman is a menace, is an obstacle, an enemy. "Hey, lady, stop messing with my baby girl. You're in the way. You're taking cuts. You're taking a healing that belongs to my girl." I think she is an enemy, not just an obstacle, but an enemy. Oh, how painful this pause is. Excruciating, and yet upon reflection, maybe Jesus knows what he's doing. Maybe he can chew gum and run the universe at the same time. Just maybe Jesus knows what he's doing, and maybe this is exactly what this father needs, this lady in his way. Why do I say that? Well, could it be that this pause was designed to get this man to slow down and to see faith on display in this woman? Could it be that this man really didn't understand who Jesus was? Quite exactly, right? And he needed a confidence builder. He needed, not an obstacle, but an object lesson. He needed someone to prime the faith pump. And so God ordains the event such that there's a pause, and there it is on display. I mean, Jesus tells Jairus, "Do not fear, only believe." Well, how should I believe, Jesus? How should I believe? Okay, Jairus, this is how. Here's the astounding answer. Watch this woman. Look at this woman. Look at how she appeals to me. Look at how she availed herself of my graciousness. I mean, think of what this man would have learned if he's paying attention, if he sees this woman as a model. I think the first thing that he would learn is that, according to Jesus, this woman was not just someone else's daughter. According to Jesus, this woman was Jesus' daughter. "My daughter, you're my daughter. Your faith has made you well." for this man Jairus to say, oh, my little girl isn't just my little girl. My little girl is God's little girl. And how much more confidence could I have knowing that Jesus has a concern like or even greater than my concern for my daughter? How much more confidence could I have when I discover that Jesus has a love like or even greater than me for my daughter? All of a sudden, that just changes everything. Or how about this? Jairus, if he's paying attention, learns of Jesus' incredible ability to do anything. This woman is healed just by touching his garment. Not even his skin. I mean, what could Jesus do if he actually lays hands on people? Oh, how about this? She gets healed without Jesus even trying. And I don't even know what to make of Jesus saying, who touched me? You can talk about that later. Needless to say, I'm walking away saying, man, he healed people without even trying. If he can do this without even trying, what can't he do? Is there anything impossible for Jesus Christ? In other words, he learns, this man, if he's paying attention, if he sees Jesus presiding over the delay, presiding over the pause, he learns from this woman that Jesus is in absolute control even of this most painful moment in his life. And I'm here to tell you this morning, he's in control over yours too. I give you the invitation of King David, who says to the people of God in Psalm 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. This morning, wait for the Lord, be strong, take courage, wait for the Lord. Or here's the way that Jesus puts it. Do not fear, only believe. Believe what? Number one, that Jesus is in control, even when there's not enough time. Believe what? Number two, that Jesus is in control, even of our very painful pauses. And then lastly, believe that Jesus is in control when it's too late. When it's too late. Right, Jesus shows up and the daughter is dead. If we know anything from our everyday experience, if it's dead, it's too late. If it's dead, it's done. The crowds get that, at least the people in the household, verse 49, they get that and they say, hey, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter is dead. I mean, they're acknowledging that Jesus is great. He's a teacher, but man, this is something certainly beyond his ability. Yes, he's a miracle worker, but here is a boundary. Here is a border that not even Jesus can cross. Jesus does not control things that are too late. And here's the peer pressure upon this father to believe that. And as we know, this is precisely what Jesus goes after. This is precisely the myth that he explodes. And he does so in such a remarkable fashion as he raises this girl up. And I'm going to read that once again in a moment. But I want you to remember, thinking about this series on the miracles of Christ, that all of these miracles, though they were real historical miracles dealing with physical maladies, nevertheless, they were all a billboard of something deeper that God wants to do in you. You see, God in the ministry of Jesus is dealing with the physical because he wants to deal with the spiritual in your life. The physical death here is a symptom of something greater that Jesus is going after. Physical death here is a symptom of a greater death. And so when we read the story, yes, let's celebrate the resuscitation of this gal, but I want you to see that we are supposed to see a greater tragedy and a more triumphant triumph. We're to see something greater. You see, there is a greater death. You may have heard that, and you may be saying, well, what do you mean? I thought physical death was the greatest kind of death. And I'm here to tell you that physical death is just a symptom of a greater kind of death. What is that death? It's a spiritual death. It's all of us in our sin. We are dead spiritually. All have sinned, the Bible says, and we have fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of that sin is death. The consequences of that sin is death. And please, when you hear me say the word sin, don't think primarily of all the bad things that you turn to in your life. Don't think of your behavior, although that is relevant. Don't think of the bad things that you turn to. Instead, I want you to think of a relationship that you've turned from. Sin, the very essence of it isn't behavioral, it is relational. It is a turning away from the only person, the only relationship in the universe that can give you life and more abundantly. Imagine for a moment all of the plants and the trees in the earth rebelling against the sun, saying, we don't want a relationship with the sun anymore. And they all climb into the darkest cave and try to live without a relationship with the sun. What happens to the trees and the plants? They die. They die. That's every one of us. We've turned from God and we have perished because of it. Paul says we are dead in our trespasses and sins. And without Jesus, without someone from the outside with the ability to do things that are impossible for us, it's too late. It's too late. This girl ain't raising herself from the dead. When you are spiritually dead, you're not raising yourself up from the dead. No amount of religion, resolution, no amount of restitution or penance, none of that. You can never vivify yourself from spiritual death. That's every one of us without Christ. We remain dead in our trespasses and sins. And the consequences of that sin, not just in our life, but also in the universe, will become an eternal, painful pause unless we have a Savior. This is what Easter is all about. Jesus steps into this hopeless situation, into this house of grief, into this room in death, room of death. He's stepped into this world of death. Jesus says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. You don't have to perish this morning. You don't have to remain spiritually dead and alienated from God. That you should not perish, but have everlasting life. A few chapters later, he says, whoever believes in me and the one who sent me has eternal life right now. Passes out of death into life. In other words, you believe in Jesus this morning, and God does for you on the inside what he does for this little girl on the outside. And what does he do? Verse 51, and when he came to the house, and I love this, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and the mother of the child. And they were all weeping and mourning. I mean, they can't get their minds around that even Jesus can reverse this. But Jesus said, do not weep, for she is not dead, but is sleeping. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. She was flatlined, and yet Jesus has an entirely different perspective on death, right? But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, child, arise. Child, arise. And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And she was hungry. Give her something to eat. Her parents were amazed, and he charged them to tell no one what had happened, at least not then. That's what Jesus wants to do for you. On the inside, in your heart, in your spirit, which is dead without Jesus. And then one day, the Bible teaches on the outside. In John 5, that passage I just read, Jesus, right when he said, hey, if you believe in me, you'll come alive on the inside right now, but also in the future, one day when I come back, I'm going to make you alive on the outside. An hour will come when all will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they will come forth to a resurrection of life. That's what Easter is about. Jesus steps into our death. He rolls up his sleeves. He goes right into the heart of it. In fact, on the cross, he bears the brunt of it. He pushes you out of the way of the substance of death. He takes it. He absorbs it. Look on the cross. There it is. Death. All of it. Sin. All of it concentrated in those eternal hours for the Son of God, concentrated in his person, in his body, in his soul. He's bearing the brunt of death so that you would not have to. Showing us this morning, if you're hearing my voice, that it's not too late for you. Some of you, you came in here and you're like, you have no idea what I've done in my life. You don't know the mistakes I've made. You don't know the relationships that I've devastated. You don't know the crimes that I've committed. You don't know the things that I've thought. It is too late for me. And I'm telling you this morning, no, it's not. Jesus is risen. And it's not too late. If you got breath in your lungs, if you're conscious, if you're semi-conscious, even if you're partially comatose this morning, there is hope for you. Do not fear your past. Do not fear your mistakes. Do not fear your sin. Only believe in Jesus. It's not too late for you. Now, there's others of you who think, you look at your life and you're like, of course it's not too late for me. Look at me. Aren't I something? I'm a good person with good deeds, and ultimately, if there is a God, if there is a heaven, if he lets me in, he's got to let me in because I am a good, sincere, decent person. And I want to tell you this morning on the authority of God's word that no, actually, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. And you're not raising yourself up from the dead. You're never going to look to the so-called good deeds. By the way, did you do those good deeds for the glory of God? Was it all about Jesus or was it about pointing to you? But you'll never point to those good deeds as a means to resuscitate or resurrect your heart. And so I would encourage you, if that's you, you should fear. You should fear standing before the judge of all the earth from whom you are alienated. You should fear as a criminal standing before the tribunal of a righteous and holy God. But don't stop with fear. Believe, and then don't fear. And then don't fear. And then lastly, I know that there are so many here this morning that you have experienced such incredible hardships in your life. And you think about it, and you've processed it, and you think, my life's been wasted. It'll never be made up for. I'll never get it back. That can never be redeemed. And I know this is almost impossible to believe, but this is why Jesus came to reverse that. He is the resurrecting force, not just of the inner person. He is actually the resurrecting force that will make all things new, will make all wrongs right, who will wipe every tear that you cry, every legitimate pain. He will make up for it. You have not reached the point of no return. And so this morning, if that's you, do not fear that your life is wasted. Only believe. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads and our hearts. I do want to extend the invitation to you this morning. If you have yet to believe, or maybe you're wondering, did I ever believe? You're looking at the response of these Christians and you're like, man, I don't believe like they believe. Do I actually believe in Christ? Have I placed my heart's trust in him? If there's any doubt, if there's any hesitation this morning, invite him in. Invite him in. Why wouldn't you? What would possibly stop you from having the Lord of heaven and earth, the Lord over delay and death, the Lord over painful pauses, the Lord over all things, who will make all things new? What would stop you from inviting him in to make you new, and then to wipe all tears from your eyes, ushering you into incredible joy, inexpressible joy, full of glory? What is stopping you from embracing this risen Savior? And so this morning, I want you to invite him in. In fact, this is what we're going to do as a congregation. We're going to pray this simple prayer together out loud. Everyone repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You're a Savior. You rose again after dying for my sins. Raise me up. Make me new. Forgive me. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those who prayed that for the first time. May it be something so much more than recited words. I pray that this would be the place where heaven touches earth in their hearts, bringing down new life, new heart, new destiny. Holy Spirit, grab a hold of hearts. Do what you've been doing ever since the resurrection of Jesus, raising dead people up. Do that here. I pray weeks from now, we're going to look back and hear that people came here and they heard the gospel. They heard the voice of the Son of God and they came forth to life. Holy Spirit, work that miracle. And work the miracle in our hearts as we wrestle with all of the fears and anxieties that we face in life, all of the things that this Father is facing. We have our own version of that. Help us to wait on you, to be bold, courageous, and strong. Work that by the power and ministry of the Holy Spirit, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Can we stand as we sing?
You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord.
We sing, it's your breath.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only.
You give life.
You give life. You are love. You bring life to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
We sing great,
great are you, Lord. It's your breath. So we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. Come on, with one voice we sing, and all the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
One more time, we declare together.
All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Of sin is broken. There's a reason why the darkness runs from us. There's a reason why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive.
There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive.
Come on, if you believe that this morning, let's sing Praise the King.
Praise the King, He is risen. Praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, death's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive. There's a reason why our hearts can be courageous. There's a reason why the dead are made alive. There's a reason why we share His resurrection. Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, praise the King. He is risen. Praise the King. He's alive. praise the King. Death defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive.
Sing the grave.
The grave could not ignore it. When all of heaven's roaring, hell, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The world could not ignore it. When all the saints are roaring, hell, where is your victory? Death, where is your victory? The grave. The grave could not ignore it. When all of heaven's roaring, hell, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The world could not ignore it. When all the saints are roaring, hell, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting?
Praise the King.
Praise the King. For He is risen. We'll praise the King. He's alive.
Praise the King.
Praise the King. Death's defeated. Hallelujah. He's alive.
Oh, sing praise the King.
Praise the King. He praise the King, He's alive. Praise the King, death's defeated. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive. Hallelujah, He's alive.
Amen.